My subject, looking only to Christ. And my text, Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 30. I'd like for you to read the scripture with me, if you'll take your Bible and open it to Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 30. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then Simeon took him up in his arms, and he blessed or praised God, and he said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Lord, now let me die in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Now the flesh, the natural man, clings tenaciously to two things. The two things that Simeon, by the grace of God, surrendered, gave up, are the two things that we, by nature, cling to with all our might. You know what they are? First of all, the flesh clings to this earth. The flesh clings to this natural life. The flesh is dust. That's what our Lord said to Adam, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. The flesh is dust, and the flesh has an attraction for the earth. Even old age, with all its infirmities, does not make men and women willing to give up this earth, this natural life, and to depart out of this world. How few, how very, very few can really say, or we can all say it with our lips, but how very few can really say with their hearts, Lord, let me die. Let me die in peace. Simeon could say it. That's what he said. Lord, I'm ready to die. I've seen your salvation. I've seen all I want to see. I've seen all I need to see. I'm ready to die. Paul could say it. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Only a revelation of Christ will destroy the cords and fetters and chains that bind us to this world. We in the flesh and by human nature are bound to this earth. We cling to this earth. We hate to be separated from this earth. And only a revelation of Christ can break these chains and break these fetters. This is what Christ was talking about when he said, if a man loves father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, yea, his own life more than me, he cannot be my disciple, because that person has not gotten a saving view of Christ. He has not had a full revelation of Christ if he still clings to these things more than to Christ. That's what our Lord meant when he said no man can serve two masters. Either he'll cling to one and turn from the other, or he'll cling to this one and turn from that. And you can't serve two masters. Impossible. And Simeon had seen the Lord. He said, now let me die. There's nothing here for me anymore. There's nothing to cling to. There's nothing to attract me. It's all vanity. I've seen the Lord. I'm ready to go. But this is one of the things that the natural man holds to. He calls heaven the unknown, but when you know Christ, it can't be unknown. It may be unseen by human eye, but it's not unknown. It's seen by faith, and it's known by faith. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Eternal life's to know God. Abraham wandered about on this earth looking for a city whose builder and maker was God, which hath foundation, real city. All right, the second thing that the flesh clings to is its own self-righteousness, its own good works, its own morality. Not only does the flesh cling to this earth and all that this earth affords or promises, but it clings to self-righteousness. Now listen to me and listen good. Human goodness is mere fiction. It doesn't exist. It doesn't even exist. Human righteousness, according to the Word of God, is filthy rags. It's an abomination to God. It doesn't even exist in God's sight. Paul said, in the flesh, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh, no man can please God. And yet, human beings cling to their own righteousness and goodness and morality till death do them part. And even death doesn't part them, for in the judgment they heard the cry to the Lord himself. Well, Lord, we preached in your name, and in your name we did many wonderful works, and in your name we cast out devils, even at the judgment. They're still clinging to this fiction. They're still clinging to this human tradition of good works and morality, which doesn't exist. The Scripture says there's none good, no, not one. We don't believe that. We think we're good. There's none righteous, no, not one. We think we're righteous. There's none that understandeth. We think we know everything. They're altogether become unprofitable. The Scripture says God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did do good. And he found they're altogether gone out of the way. That every imagination of man's heart is evil continually. And Isaiah said, from the sole of his feet to the top of his head, there's no soundness in him. Nothing of any value at all. Nothing of any concrete soundness. It's all wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been even treated or bound up. Human righteousness is not a help to salvation, it's a hindrance to salvation. Men do not come to Christ until they have given up their self-righteousness, until they've given up their goodness and their morality. He came to save sinners. He died for the ungodly. That's what the Scripture says. He said the well don't need a doctor. It's sick people that need doctors. And I've come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came to seek and to save the lost. Human righteousness is not a help to salvation. It's a hindrance. And human righteousness will keep a man from Christ. It kept the Pharisees from Christ. It kept Saul of Tarsus from Christ till God met him on the road to Damascus and slew him and revealed to him his sins. He said, I didn't even know sin till I came to a knowledge of the law, a true knowledge of the spirituality of God's law. When you come to see Christ, you see God's salvation. You don't see anything in yourself. This is what Simeon was waiting on. This is what he saw. He said, I'm ready to die now. I've seen God's salvation. Not my salvation. Not my righteousness. Not my good works. I've seen God's salvation. God's deliverance. God's redemption. I've seen the provision that God's made for sinful men. But those are the two things that natural men hold to, cling to, tenaciously, and won't give them up. This earth and our righteousness. And it's just one thing that'll deliver you from both, and that's to see Christ in his redemptive glory, in his saving power. If you ever see him, fall in love with him, then this world will lose all its attractiveness. And if you ever see Christ, you'll see yourself. Oh, how vain and empty and ignorant and how sinful and how depraved and how wretched. That's right. I want us to look at three things. Simeon got to look at Christ. And Simeon had two miracles performed for him that I wish God had performed for us. Number one, the world lost its attraction for Simeon. And number two, he forgot his righteousness and his works and looked to God's salvation. All right, the first thing, where it all began. This is where it all started. Now, most people start a message on Simeon from the time when he said, Lord, now let me die, I've seen your salvation. But it started before that. Look at verse 25. It says in verse 25, Luke 2, Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same was a just man and a devout man, and he waited. He looked, he longed for the consolation of Israel, for the Redeemer, for the Christ. He was waiting for someone. He was looking for someone. He was expecting someone. He was looking for the Christ. Simeon was longing and looking for the Redeemer. Now, let me tell you something. Listen good. Men do not usually find Christ and salvation if they have no interest in salvation. That's right. Men do not usually find salvation who have no interest in redemption, no interest in salvation. Those who feel their guilt and who feel their sin usually find mercy. Take the publican. He went to the temple and he smote upon his breast and he would not even lift his eyes to heaven because he was ashamed. He was guilty. He was sorry for his sin. And he cried, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Here was a man seeking mercy because he was guilty. He knew he was guilty. He acknowledged his guilt. And he got mercy. He found mercy. Men don't usually find mercy unless they're seeking it, unless they're looking for it, unless they're longing for it, unless, like Simeon, they're waiting for it. Simeon found the Christ, but he was looking for him. He was interested in him. I'll tell you another thing. Those who know their inability seek help. There was the woman who was diseased for 12 years. She had, the scripture says, spent everything she had. She didn't have anything. She had spent everything. She was broke. She'd tried many physicians, and none of them had helped her. But she was just a lot worse. And she said, "If I can get to Jesus Christ, I'll be made whole." And brother, let me tell you something. When she got to him and reached out and touched his garment, immediately, the scripture says immediately, she was made whole. What was she doing there? Interest. Desire, longing, looking. You see what I'm saying? Are you interested in your soul salvation? Are you interested in deliverance from sin? Are you interested in knowing who the Savior is? Well, not really, preacher. You won't find him either. You won't find him. Simeon was waiting on him. The thief on the cross, he asked for mercy. Those who ask, Christ said, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. Those who seek the Lord, find him. That's what the scripture says. Let me read. Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's what the scripture says. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Simeon was longing, waiting for the Redeemer. And secondly, now watch this. Something took place. Where it all began. He wanted help. He wanted mercy. He wanted to know the Lord. Do you? All right, notice Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit to Christ. Now, no man ever came to Christ by his own wisdom. Simeon would never have found Christ if the Holy Spirit had not led him to the temple when Christ was there. He didn't know when Christ was coming. He didn't know when Christ would be there. He didn't know who Christ was. He didn't know who would bring him there. The Holy Spirit led him there. At the same time, the Holy Spirit brought Mary and Joseph with that baby to that temple to do unto him after the custom of the law. The Holy Spirit brought his path to cross the path of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can come to me, Christ said, except my Father draw him. As many as received him, to them gave he the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. This thing of salvation is a work of God. It's an operation of the Holy Spirit. And if you find Christ, if you come to know Christ, I guarantee you it'll be an operation of the Holy Spirit bringing your path to cross the path of Christ. He'll bring the gospel to you, and he'll bring you to the gospel. The Holy Spirit brought him to Christ. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things God's prepared for them that love him, but he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. By his Spirit. These things are hid from the wise and prudent, but revealed unto babes. Our gospel be hid, Paul said, it's hid to them that are lost, whose minds and eyes have been blinded by the God of this world, but they've been revealed to you. The Holy Spirit revealed them. And watch this. Simeon walked in the light God gave him. And God gave him more light. It was God's purpose to save him. It was God's determination to reveal Christ to him. That's what it says. It was said to him by the Holy Spirit, you're not going to die till you find Christ, till you see Christ, till Christ is revealed to you. That was God's purpose. And I'm telling you this. Now you listen to me. Where you have the purpose of God and the power of the Spirit, and a seeking sinner, you'll have an operation of grace. That's right. The purpose of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and a seeking sinner, a hungry sinner, a fallen sinner, a needy sinner, a helpless sinner, a waiting sinner, a longing sinner, a looking sinner, he'll be saved. That's where it all began. There was grace before grace. There was a preparation work, the preparatory work by the Holy Spirit. And this man was brought by the Spirit. And when he saw Christ, he said, that's the Savior. That's God's salvation out there. I recognize it. And I'm telling you this, you'll recognize the gospel when you hear it. If God's working in your heart, you'll recognize. The Antichrist can deceive everybody but God's elect. They can't deceive. He can't deceive God's elect. All right, notice the second thing. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. A person was revealed. Our Lord said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son. Now, Simeon saw him not only with eyes of faith, but with his natural eyes. He held him in his arms. Now, you and I won't be able to hold Christ in our arms. And we won't be able to see him with the natural eyes. But we can see him like Abraham saw him, by faith. Abraham, he said, saw my day. He saw it and was glad. We can see him like Moses saw him. Moses got a pre-incarnation glimpse of Jesus Christ. And you and I can get a post-incarnation glimpse of Christ by faith. By faith. We see him with our hearts. We see him. We see him, first of all, as the promised Savior. In every one of the Old Testament types, I see Christ, the brazen serpent lifted up, the seed of woman, the great high priest, the atonement, the smitten rock, the manna from heaven, the Passover lamb. I see Christ, the tabernacle. I see him, the promised Savior. Don't you see him there? In every one of these Old Testament types, can't you see Christ? I see Christ in the ark. As that ark was lifted up on the water and lifted above the flood, and everybody outside of the ark perished under the wrath of God, and these eight souls, saved so as by water in that ark, were preserved. I see Christ. I see him protecting, preserving you and I from the flood of God's judgment and wrath in Christ. I see the promised Savior all through the Old Testament. I see him in the ceremonies of the tabernacle. I see that incense burning there just this side of the veil, always burning 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, always the smoke of that incense ascending to heaven. That's the prayers of Christ. I see those seven candlesticks burning there in the holy place. That's Christ, the light of the world. I see Christ over here, the bread, the showbread, Christ, the bread of life. I see Christ in all there in the broken law and that sheet of gold, the mercy seat on top of that broken law, and the blood running down on each side. I see Christ in all of these ceremonies and all these ordinances. I see Christ. I see him in the work of the priest. I see him in the work of the priest in the feast days and the holy days. I see him in all the scriptures, the provided Savior. The provided Savior. I see him when Mary brings forth that little lad into the world. This is the Son of God. She said, well, I don't even know a man. How can I have a child? And the angel said, that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. The Son of God. I see this perfect one, the perfect Savior, walking this earth. Even his enemies couldn't find any fault in him. Even the Heavenly Father could find no fault in him. He said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Even Pilate could find no fault. He said, I find no fault in this man. Even Pilate's wife wrote a note and said, don't have anything to do with that man. I've dreamed about him. He's a just man. Even the centurion who helped to crucify him, watched him die, and then he said, surely this man was the Son of God. And he pointed to his enemies, and he said, which of you can convince me of sin? Perfect. The perfect Savior. The promised Savior. The provided Savior. I see him. I see him as the punished Savior, bearing my sins and transgressions. I see him wounded for all my transgressions, the chastisement of my peace upon him. By his stripes I'm healed. Punished, not for his sins. He had none. For my sins. You say, well, how could one man bear the sin of so many because of who he was? It's not how much blood he shed, it's whose blood was shed. It's not how long he hung on that cross, it's who was hanging on that cross. It's not how greatly he suffered, but who suffered. That's what makes it effectual. And then I see him, the pleading Savior, at the right hand of the Father, pleading for me, praying for me. I see him as the preeminent Savior. Oh, I can say what Simeon said. Lord, I've seen your salvation. I've seen the promised Savior, the provided Savior. I've seen the perfect Savior. I've seen the punished Savior. I've seen there the pleading Savior and praying Savior. I've seen the preeminent Savior who has been given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. And let me tell you something. Simeon rang the bell loud and clear when he said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Christ is God's salvation. Now, your church might have a way of salvation, but that's not God's salvation. You may meet preachers that have got different ways of salvation, and about for every religion or cult or sect or denomination, we've got a different way of salvation, and they can all tell you how to be saved. But God just has one salvation. One salvation. And none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ the Lord. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Don't miss this. Christ is salvation. Christ is not only a Savior. He is salvation. For he himself, a person, is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He is our wisdom. Without Christ, we're in utter darkness and ignorance. He is our salvation. To know him is to know the Father. He said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." He is our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our holiness. God doesn't look down here and see you do a few good deeds and then accept you because you were better than your neighbor. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's rotten to the core. God looks upon you in Christ and accepts you in the Beloved. On the basis, not of what you've done, but of what he did and is doing. He is our sanctification. He is our holiness. He is our redemption. It's not that Jesus made a way. He is the way. It's not that Jesus Christ provided a way. He is the way. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." We don't receive what Christ did. We receive Christ. Now, don't miss this. So I say, "Well, I'm saved because I'm trusting the finished work of Christ." Now, wait a minute. Are you trusting the work or the one who did it? Are you trusting the throne or the one who sits on it? Are you trusting the doctrine or are you trusting the Christ who spoke the doctrine? There's a lot of difference. Paul didn't say, "I know what I believe." He said, "I know whom I have believed." Paul didn't say, "I know when I believed." I hear people say, "Well, I know I'm saved. I was there when it happened." That doesn't mean a thing. He didn't say, "I know when I was saved." He said, "I know whom I have believed." Christ is salvation. Simeon looked at that child. Christ hadn't even died on the cross then. How could Simeon trust the finished work? It wasn't finished. Christ hadn't shed his blood. Christ hadn't suffered for his sins yet. He had in the purpose of God, in the mind of God, in eternity past, in the will of God. But here is an infant. And this man, Simeon, trusted a person. He believed a person. He saw in a person salvation. And that's what you'd better see and what I'd better see. And we'd better quit embracing doctrines and creeds and holy days and feasts and men and professions and decisions and flee to a person. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide, till the storm of life is past. Salvation's a person. And this is what is not being preached in this day. Men are exhorted to make a decision, to come to the front, to believe a doctrine, to change their way of living, to do serve God, to join the church, to be baptized, to do all these things. Nobody's preaching a person. Faith in a person, confidence in a person, submission to a person, receiving a person. The Bible does not say to as many as received his doctrine, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Not to as many as received his preacher or his commandments, but him. Christ is king. Is he your king? Lord, Savior, Redeemer, your all in all, whatever and he did and whatever he's doing. He's the Savior. That's the important point. It's Christ. It's Christ or eternal condemnation. And what's the last thing? A request. Lord, two miracles. He said, this world doesn't have anything left for me. Every fetter is broken. I'm no longer tied to this life, to family, to home, to fame, to flesh, to idle comforts. Now I'm joined to a person, in a living union with a person, and I'm ready to die. These things are just not important anymore. This can't be yours till you come to know a person. You can't give up a family. You can't give up the things of this world for a cause, for a doctrine, for a denomination. But, brother, you can for a person. That's when a man is joined in marriage to a woman. Our Lord tells him that he forsakes all others, home, mother, and it cleaves to her, and her alone as long as they live. That's a marriage to Christ, a vital living union with Christ. I'm ready to die. Christ is my treasure. Gold is not. Christ is my life. The flesh is not. Christ is my family. Others are not. Christ is my king. Idols are not. It's Christ. Two miracles. Weaned from the world and from my own righteousness to embrace God's salvation. Now, we have two messages on this cassette tape. Last week, I spoke on the seven words from Calvary, and today on looking to Christ alone. These two messages on one tape cost $3. If you want it, write to me. The address follows the program. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.